Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Thomas Village Baptist Church on a beautiful Wednesday evening, and hope you've had a good week and prosperous, and we'll start our service off tonight with an old favorite, number 141, and if you got a hymnal at your house, which would be the Old Rugged Cross.
singing y'all. All right, if you would, take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Ephesians tonight. Book of Ephesians, chapter 7, as we're still kindly in Memorial Day mode, still thinking about it. As you're turning to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, I have a radio station that I really like, and it's the satellite thing or whatever, but it's old radio programs. What's it called? Sirius XM. It's 148. It's the old radio programs like Hopalong Cassidy and Gunsmoke and all the different types of things. But they've been doing a lot from 1941 to 1945 this week and the Second World War and everything that was going on there. And it does good to keep your mind focused. And thank God we are the greatest country on this earth. And the men who died for it, died for a worthwhile thing. And one of them said, while they were praying, though, I pray, it was a mother who lost her son, that this country would always be worth her son dying for it. And I thought, man, that's all those men and women that give their life, is it still worth it? Praise God, it is. Amen. And they're still worthy of our honor and recognition for all that they've done. Tonight, we do have a lot of prayer needs tonight. We're going to look at our armor as a soldier, and we talked about a soldier Sunday morning. Tonight, we'll look at both the defensive and offensive weapons that we're given. As a matter of fact, I've never seen it, but there are seven that is there. And you know the perfection, a number of heavenly perfection is seven. But before we go, do we have any words of praise or testimony tonight? I do want to give God the praise that my back and my leg ain't hurting as bad. It ain't all the way better, but it's all the stretching's getting better. They said they couldn't see me at the doctor till June 15th anyway, so... they ain't no way I could have been with Amy and them. They are hiking and gallivanting all over them islands and stuff like that. And but do we have any other words of praise tonight? Amen. Amen. It's good to see you. How many of y'all remember the old, as you turn to Ephesians chapter 6, you remember the old Magnum P.I. with Tom Selleck and all that on it? Well, I love that one. That was awesome. You know, still wear your pants up above your belly button while you're going into the... and my son, those clothes are coming back. But I wanted a picture of the old Robin's Nest. Do you remember that was where he lived at? And they're tearing it down, the original one. Guess who's tearing it down to build them one? Barack Obama. Is tearing down Magnum P.I.'s house. He ain't cooler than Magnum P.I., is he? Amy loves the new ones. I've not got into that, but that's a little off topic. But do we have any words of praise and testimony? All right, we do have some special prayer needs tonight. I talked with Sister Sheila today. Praise God, she's mending up, doing very well. Sounded very uplifted in her voice. But we do want to pray for some of her relatives, Sarah Freeman, that is a cousin, I believe it's of hers, and was on the road coming from, I believe, Florida up to North Carolina and had a heart attack and was hauling another cousin, and Miss Freeman died from another heart attack after they had got her into the life support. And so want to pray for them. Also, Terry Galloway family, Miss Tina that works up here at the Truist. It was her mother. She's passed away. Want to remember them. Also, Jackie and Sharon Christian. This is some of Sister Sheila's neighbors that are in need of help. And then don't forget Amanda Christian with the children, Xander and Sebastian Spurlock, I believe was the last name that Sebastian, the six-year-old that has the special needs, he had been on a vent, but they took him off the vent. He's on oxygen now, but he's still in critical condition there. So continue to pray for them. Also, pray for Brother Danny Roten and Sister Shirley and Sister Nancy and all that's going on there. You know that treatment is very tough. And then also, Sister Bridget, Brother Paul's daughter, she has ruptured two vertebrae in her back, and they've got JP right now too. So Brother Paul is serving there. We want to continue to lift them up. But Miss Teresa Cobb, we want to continue to pray for her. Sister Wilma Jean Tomlinson, I went over there today to see them, and the door was locked, and they didn't have a button I could push or anything like that. So I'm going to try to go back maybe Friday and check on her. Brenda Stevens, Tabitha Miller, Sister Sheila, Jared Collins, and then Brother Jared Glass. His dad had to have surgery one day it was yesterday, and God willing, they were able to come home today. And then also just lift up his sister, Jamie Glass, right now. Linda Fletcher, Herschel Johnson, Chuck and Jean Dennison, Patty Van Zant, Peggy DeBoer. Patty Van Zant passed away. Patty Zant, that's what that was. I might have been told family, so let's just remember her family. Brother Wayne and Brother Larry, Melanie Lester, Kathy Kynes, Moselle Carter, Ruth and Nick Roten, John Austin, Ashley Cancer, Anthony Cancer and Salvation, J.D. Nielsen, John Bryce, Jeanette Carter, Tommy Mullins, Wilma Daniels, Jasper and Pam, Mary Jane Carter, Wilma Williams, Susan Lassiter, Karen McDavid, Charlie Taylor, the Stenicky family, the Eastep family, Billy Carter, Candy Worth, Leslie and Daryl, Kim and Dale, Jimmy Taylor, Hazel Dingish, Shalina Harris, Brittany Grindstaff, Daryl Hurd, Junior Wade, Roger and Virginia Eden, Teresa Holden, Maggie Statzer, Betty McCorkle, Heather Markham, Kevin Tigner, Buddy McNutt, Steve Smith, Jason Knight, Pam Savarsky, Jesse Bull, Margaret Williams, the CC family, Debbie Starnes, Terry Biller, Brandon Johnson, Randy Meeks, Chuck Kearney, Junior Stidham, Penny Horton, Kathy Smith, Charlotte Bishop, Gail Stidham, Mike Brown, Larry Tomlinson, Rhonda Doran, Mickey Gillum, Dr. Awan, Miranda Caldwell, Kathy Baldwin, Aiden Jordan, Deborah Taylor, Daryl Green, Paul Davis, Jewel Williams, Genevieve and Jerry Flannery, Bodessa Lawson, Cindy Osborne, Denny Lemon, Charlene Lofton, Senior Edmonds, Laura Haynes, the Evans family, JT and Gladys Jones, Billy Joe Robbins family, Rhea and Ruth Osborne, Justin Bowen, Paul and Thomas Stoyer, Carol Carter, Ezekiel Jordan, Robbie Daniel Jordan, Eddie and Chris Barnett, Ethan Bowen, Daisy Richards, Dakota McQueen, Chris and Jennifer Strange, Judy Webb, Tyler and Donna Haas, David and Felicia Cantrell, Lance and Sabrina Stollard, Mr. Pippin, Haley Webb, Carol Dishner, Darlene Porter, Rhonda Bryant, Jalen and Scott Bledsoe, John and Carmine Shoup, Chelsea LeBlanc, Steve Neff, Linda Jackson, Helen Bowen, Liza Fletcher, Phyllis and Hoyt Bledsoe, Lottie Johnson, Brother Miss Cecilia and Frank Pennington Sr., Randall and Edie Gunner, Mary Snodgrass, Nicholas Patrick, David Starnes, James Connor, Evan Bach, Brother Jeff's brother, Stuart Owens and Buddy Hill. There was something else I had on my mind and can't remember. Do we have any other prayer needs tonight? Any other prayer needs? I was told yesterday that there are a lot of cases of COVID around our region right now. Don't forget also the night that the Backyard Bible Study is beginning. And then June the 13th through the 15th will be our our Vacation Bible School, and also pray for the summer program that Miss Mosher is going to be leading with at Hope. So continue to pray for that. And also this Sunday we'll be having baptism. To God be the glory there. So it's some things are picking up. The all's getting going. Any other prayer needs tonight? Jim and Sonia Rogers. Yes, just got that one. Yep. With the COVID. And my mom spent about 6 or 7 hours in the ER yesterday. Looks like she's going to have some surgery coming up, but nothing major. Just pray. That's mama. Mama in the hospital. We got to pay attention then, you know. Anyone else? That's rough.
And Samantha,
his family. We will. It's hard. Anyone else? All right, Brother Keith, do you mind coming and praying over our prayer needs tonight? And if you have any, don't forget our over 200 names, 250 names on our list of the backslidden or the lost. We want to pray for those. And then pray for just that we be a soul winning station, that we have a burden for the lost. One more soul. It is not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Brother Keith.
Let us pray. Most kind and heavenly gracious Father, Lord, we just thank you, dear God, for another opportunity to be in your house tonight, Lord. We pray for all those that's on our prayer list tonight, Lord. And I raise our brother Danny Roten up to you in a special way tonight, Lord. I just pray, dear God, that you would help him get through his treatments and be with the family, Lord, as they're there to help take care of him. Lord, there's many needs tonight, and you know each and every one, and I just pray that your will be done on each and every one. We thank you for all those that's made an effort to come out to your house tonight, and Lord, we pray for those that wasn't able to come out, Lord, and I just pray that you be with our pastor tonight, Lord, as he teaches the message, Lord, that you've put upon his hearts, and I just pray, dear God, that our minds and our hearts will be receptive. Lord, forgive us for our many failures, for it's these things we ask in your precious holy name. Amen.
Amen. All right. Ephesians chapter 6, and I'm going to pick up in verse 10, but I'll probably just go ahead and just read all the way through verse 20. Which is basically the whole paragraph, and it deals with the armor of the Lord. But I'm gonna read it, and we'll focus on verses 10 through 18. But I'm gonna read the whole paragraph, but 10 through 18 of Ephesians chapter 6. Oh, and those of you that may be watching by Facebook, I just completely just thought y'all. I'd already said hey to y'all, but those of you that may be listening also through the radio program, it's good to be with you tonight. Thankful you've made the effort to come out. Pray that you'll be blessed by the lesson tonight, and if nothing else, remember that nobody loves you like Jesus, okay? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, be strengthened by the Lord and by his vast strength. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against cosmic powers of this darkness, against evil spiritual forces in the heavens. For this reason, take up the full armor of God, so that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having prepared everything, to take your stand. Therefore, with the truth like a belt around your waist, righteousness like an armor on your chest, and your feet sandaled with readiness for the gospel of peace, in every situation take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray at all times in the Spirit with every prayer and request, and stay alert with all perseverance for intercessions for all saints. Pray for me also, that the message may be given to me when I open my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. For this I am an ambassador in chains, but that I might be bold enough to speak about it as I should. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, God, I thank you for this day that you've allowed us to live a new day, Lord, and with purpose, and God, with your plan. And God, we just come back today, this midweek time together, and declare that, God, you are a good and a loving God. There is no God like you, and you have blessed us beyond all measure. Well, let me speak for you. You've blessed me beyond all measure, God. Everything that I've needed this week and even more, you have met my needs and so on. And God, as I think about those tonight, as we think about Brother Danny and all that's going on there and others, Lord, that are fighting battles, whether they be physical, whether they be spiritual, whether they be emotional and chemical imbalances in their body, God, Jesus, you are more than enough. And we just plead your blood and your name and pray that you'll take your word tonight and you'll just use it to grow us, that we will be better warriors, that we'll be better soldiers in the army of the Lord. And God, again, thank you for your love. Forgive me of my sins. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. As we started Sunday morning, and if you'll remember, Sunday night I was going to go through this, but God put a passage about the whoever falls on the rock will be broken, but whoever the rock falls on will be crushed. And God just spoke to me about that sometimes the only way God can make us into what we need to be is we have to be broken first. He can't make us, and we don't like that, but that's just the truth. That's just the way it is. But as we studied Sunday morning, as we looked at and the idea of Memorial Day out of 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 through 4, you remember that's where Paul calls out Timothy and says, endure hardness as a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. And don't get yourself caught up in the civilian affairs, but keep your mind focused on the battle so that you may please the commander who has called you. And then there we also jumped over into 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, where Paul is coming down to the end of his life. And remember, he's saying, you continue to study, you again endure hardships. But as for me, it's time for me to be poured out like a drink offering. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. And then he began to talk about the crown that the Lord Jesus Christ has for him. But not only him, but for Timothy and anyone who are anticipating and in love with his return. And remember, as we looked at it, we looked at basically 5 points. A good soldier, whether it be physically or whether it, as we see in the scripture, a soldier in the army of the Lord Jesus Christ. The first one was the soldier must be willing to follow. You've got to be willing to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got to be a soldier before you can ever be a good or a bad soldier. And before you can ever be a soldier in the army of Christ, you have to forsake your sins and repent of them and accept Jesus Christ and follow Him as your commander, giving up your rights. That's what the men and women have done so great in America. They've gave up certain of their rights so that they could defend our rights. And the thing is we've got to be willing to follow. And then there, to be a good soldier, we must be willing to be faithful. We've got to be faithful to the call, faithful to the cause, and again, faithful to the commander. We also looked at how that as a soldier, we have to be familiar with certain things. And then we looked at that as a good soldier, we must be willing to fight. And lastly, we must be willing to finish the race, go through the course. But tonight I want to talk about the soldier and his weapons, because remember, as we studied, we talked about three things that the soldier must become familiar with. One, remember, is the commander's voice. We must be tuned in with the shepherd. What did Jesus say? He says, I have my sheep that are not of this fold, but they hear my voice and they follow me. And that's the same way that we must be listening for the commander. But also, remember, we talked about as a good soldier, we will become familiar with hardships. Listening at some of those soldiers that were taken in POW camps, some of those that were working and seeking out the U-boats, you know, Germany's U-boats, and how they would be out there and fighting in those waves, and they were getting sick and all that. The rain in Vietnam, the dust storms in Afghanistan and all that. It is not fun being a soldier and being at war at times. You deal with hardships, but that's the same it is as a soldier of Christ. But also, we talked about how that we need to be familiar with the enemy's attacks. You know, the devil has fought me in my life, and and my flesh has fought me. You know, and he's a good enemy. He watches what works, and if it's worked before, why wouldn't it work again? And so we're to know the schemes of the devil. We're to look out for the schemes of the devil. But then also, a soldier, a good soldier, must become familiar with their weapons and with their supplies. And so tonight, as we look in this passage of chapter 6, we see seven weapons, both offensive weapons and defensive weapons, that we as Christians have to fight the daily and hourly battle that we fight in our flesh and against the world around us. Notice, he begins by saying in verse 3, for this reason, take up the full armor of God. For what reason? Because he wants him to become a fulfilled and a complete Christian. He wants him to be able to be a master, he might say, of the things of God. If you read just a few seconds back, or the slaves and the master before it, but he says in verse 9, and masters, treat your slaves in the same way without treating them, because you know that both their master and yours in heaven, and that there is no favoritism. And he's wrapping it up by saying, you need to be strong in the Lord and the vastness of his strength. And I begin to, as we talked about Sunday morning in our Sunday school class, as we were looking at Paul and his thorn in the flesh. And we got to talking, just like we were talking about how that we have to be broken. Lots of times we have to be brought to how weak we are and how unable we are before we will give it over to God. You remember Paul said, I asked three times that this thorn in my flesh be taken away. But God told him no, and he said, the reason I'm not is because this helps me keep you in check. This helps me keep you probably more into a place of humility and meekness so that he could be used. We must be dependent upon the strength of God and not our own strength. Notice he says, put that armor on so that you may be able to resist in the evil day. I believe we're in the evil day right now. As we see many of so-called believers, faithful teachers, faithful attendees, faithful givers, faithful singers in the choir and all that, they've just laid it down. Now it's just almost like it's a benefit to God if they just show up every now and then. You see, people are just laying it down. And the Bible says in the last day, we're not to take it as like it's something new. But there's going to be a great falling away before the son of perdition, before the Antichrist is revealed on the scene. And again, I believe the Antichrist is already born, man. I think we're very close to the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But remember what Paul said? He said, for all of those, the crown that he had, that God has for Paul and for all those that love him, is that anticipation and that enduring to the end, being able to push on and to press on. And then he says, and having prepared everything, you are able to take your stand. Now notice, this is what was neat to me. He didn't say to advance on the enemy, did he? He said, stand. Why? Because when we're with Christ Jesus, we are standing on the truth. We're standing on where we're supposed to be, and it's the gates of hell and the world around us that's attacking us. And we stand on the truth of God, and praise God, I've learned this. People ask me how I'm doing, and I'll tell them, well, I'm still standing. And you know what? Most days, still standing is winning the battle. Amen? Just being able at the end of the day to recognize that God has brought me through this day, and praise God, He's going to bring me through whatever else comes. And so now let's look at the type of armor that he says. And I want to, you know, I'm not going to get too deep because there's a lot of just common sense here when it comes to these things. But I don't do it in the order. I put mine on verbally. And there's certain things that I think we need to go through regularly that needs to be heard. I told you Sunday night that the salvation message should be routinely and faithfully heard out of Thomas Village Baptist Church. Also, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the birth of Christ Jesus as we celebrate it. But also, these truths about battling against the evil one and having victory in the spiritual sense. I've had more and more people begin to talk to me about, you remember when we preached about two Sundays ago, we talked about there is no salvation unless there is conviction. And I said, Holy Ghost conviction. Folks, we don't hear much about the Holy Spirit anymore. We don't hear much about the battles of the Spirit. But every day, listen what he says in verse 14. He tells us as he begins to take our stand, he says, stand therefore. Stand with the truth like a belt around your waist, with righteousness like armor on your chest. Now, I do it this way. When I put it on of a morning, helmet of my salvation, breastplate of righteousness, gird my loins with the truth, shod my feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, give me the shield of faith and the sword of spirit, which is the word. And then also there's prayer in there, but I kind of have a way that I just get dressed in the spiritual sense. Does that mean that I'm literally putting something on? No, but I am talking to the person of the Holy Spirit that lives within me, that's been given to me to bring new life and to empower me on living a life that glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ. And then there are certain areas when I think about these places, whether it be a defense type weapon or whether it be an offensive type weapon, this shows me areas that I need to be on guard for in my life. Amen? If it's important enough for God to put it here in a practical application type sense, then we need to be recognizing and guarding over these things. The first thing is the belt of truth. Now, I tell you what, I feel naked anymore if I leave the house without my leather belt on around my waist. And the reason is because my britches get to where they just hang down. And you know what happens when your britches are hanging down? You don't walk as good, right? I mean, you're not, and that's what the belt did. It held things that they needed at hand's length that they were able to grab it, but it also kept things up off the ground that they could walk and they could step, and they walked with deliberateness. You see what I'm saying? That the passage of Scripture that stood out to me was in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. And I went with the King James Version specifically for one verse. It says, see that when ye walk, walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. How many of you has ever seen a cat walk on the fence row or walk in a yard or a place where there's a lot of stuff strewed out, and that cat will take it and place its foot? It won't step on the stuff. You know what I mean? You know what it's doing? It's walking circumspectly. It's being specific and stepping where it ain't. You know what I'm talking about? He is watching. And that's what we're to do. That's why we're to keep our loins pulled up, the belt tied off. Why? Because we as Christians, remember, we're walking a narrow road, not a wide road. And so we're watching where we place our feet and where we put our steps. And if you don't, what happens? You can end up falling. The ground that you're standing on may not be as solid or as support as... I mean, think about it. As in the army, why do they walk circumspectly? Remember, when there's booby traps and stuff like that, they send people ahead to look where they can step so that they'll be stable in their walking. Anybody got another translation that they can read of Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15? That's, go ahead, NAS. No, read verse Ephesians. Oh, what verse is that? I've got the wrong one then, ain't I? Ephesians 5. It's in Ephesians 5, but I've got the wrong one about the circumspectly. Well, we'll just go on. Thank you, sister. I told you the wrong verse. Okay, the next one is the breastplate of righteousness. And what does he say? He says, have righteousness like armor on your chest. Now, why would someone wear armor on their chest? What do you think the main thing they're trying to protect there is? What would you first think? Heart. That's what I would say. I'd say it's there. And we know other vital organs, but the vital one is that old ticker there. You know, it's got one lung don't work. We still got a backup, but that heart. But here's the thing about a heart. You remember, we're told that the heart is wicked above all things. You remember that? It's wicked and we can't trust it. But listen what it says over in 1 John chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if your heart condemns us not, then we have confidence towards God. Can I tell you, what do we talk about? One of our biggest issues is our heart, our emotions. They lead us astray, don't they? They say that we feel this way or we think this way, and instead of going by what's written in the Word of God, we'll get run by our own emotions. And so what? Have the righteousness of God protecting you. You know what? Sometimes the devil doesn't have to beat on me because my flesh beats on me pretty good. Sometimes my heart, it'll make me prideful and it'll lift me up. But at other times my heart will say, oh, you just sorry. You know how your emotions do, don't they? One time they're your biggest fan and there's not. And so that's why we have the righteousness of God. Who is? That is Christ Jesus. He is the righteousness. And so we are covered. That emotion, that vital organ that we need to make sure is working right and that is covered, what do we have? We have the righteousness of God. They're covering it. And not only is it protecting it, but it's also helping us recognize that it can be wicked and it can be evil. And so we don't have to trust it. We just protect it in Jesus' name. Any thoughts about verse 4 here? The belt of truth or the breastplate of righteousness. Okay, and notice he says, and have your feet, verse 15, your feet sandaled with the readiness with the gospel of peace. Well, the gospel of peace is the story of Christ Jesus. It is the power. What is it? The gospel of peace made peace between me and my Creator. Amen? It's also supposed to make peace between me and other brothers, sisters in Christ, right? But also, the gospel of peace has gone ahead of me and prepared a way for my Lord when I meet the Lord. But also, it is His gospel that's to guide my path. And you know what? No matter where I'm going, no matter what, as long as I've got my feet shod with the gospel of peace, what does a sandal do? What does a shoe do? It protects your feet. It gives you better travel. It helps you walk the right way. And that's the way that the gospel of peace is on our feet. Listen, it says over in the book of Romans, I didn't write down the chapter. Well, I'll tell you where it's Romans chapter 10. And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring news of good things, who proclaim salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. I was reading out of Isaiah there. It says, let me read it again out of Romans chapter. It's probably around Romans chapter 10 after verse 13. 10:15, I knew about where it was. And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who announce the gospel of good things. But all did not hear the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? And praise God, isn't that our goal? Wherever Thomas Village goes, we want to be sure that the gospel is always being put out there. And the same needs to be true for us as each individual. No matter how we're known, no matter what the world sees us, let them know that the gospel of Jesus Christ is what buffets and keeps me from being wounded or hurt by as I walk the path of this road. This is what's funny. Both of those there in verses 15 and 16 of Romans chapter 10, they're quotes. When it says, how beautiful are the feet of those, that is from Isaiah chapter 52, verse 27, where it says, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of the herald who proclaims peace, who brings news of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. And then where it says in verse 16, Lord, who has believed our report? That is Isaiah chapter 53, verse 1. And you know where it says, who has believed what we have heard? And who has the arm of the Lord been revealed to, or the right hand of God, which is Christ Jesus? But Isaiah 52 and Isaiah 53, those are the Gospels of the Old Testament there. I mean, that's if any book is the Old Testament Gospel, it is Isaiah, specifically those two passages, 52 and 53. All right, now we're moving on. Any thoughts on the sandals of peace? Okay, the next verse 16, it says, in every situation, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. Times are moving on, so I'm not going to go into the deep about the idea of the flaming arrows, which would be dipped into a certain type of liquid and it would burn. And so what they would do is when it talks about the shield of faith, it's talking about a saturated shield that water has been poured. It may have even been set down in water because it wants to have that moisture and wetness, because when they hold it up, they will shoot it. And you know what happens? The fire is coming. It hits the dampened shield and the flame goes out. But why would you want it to be wet? And this is what's awesome to me. It just blows my mind. If you look in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26, just a few passages back, when Jesus is talking about how husbands are to love their wives in the same fashion that that he loves the church. Listen what he says. He says that he's talking about the bride and how he's going to present the bride white, you know, on the wedding day. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26, it says, to make her holy, cleansing her with the washing of the water of the word. Now, how do we grow our faith? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The word. So the picture is we have the shield of faith, and that faith is what keeps us protected. But what makes our shield even greater? The washing of the word, the water of the word being on that. And that's how we grow, and our shield gets stronger and stronger. Isn't that an awesome picture there, how it is? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. We want to see the fiery darts of the enemy. It is done with faith in the word. You take the word of God to trump the doubts and the fears and the lies and the emotions. Amen? That shield of faith soaked in the word. And then, hey, it ties it straight back to that's why I like my way better. Okay, verse 17, we got to look at the helmet of salvation. Now, huh?
Yeah, mine does too. Any other thoughts on the shield that has been washed with the Word, the water of the Word? Okay, the helmet of salvation. Just like when we were talking about how we had on the breastplate of righteousness, and we know that we were protecting vital organs, but specifically when we think of that, we think of the heart. So when we put on our helmet, what are we thinking about protecting there? Our pretty grills? Our pretty gold teeth and all that we've got there? No, it's your brain. It's your thinking. But remember the heart can be an enemy, right? Remember, it can run us away, and that's why we've got to let the righteousness of God cover that. Especially, it's already evil. We don't want the devil to get his hands on it. But what about our mind? Remember, our reasoning, our minds, it's not too helpful sometimes either. It tries to tell us certain things and get us to thinking certain things. And what does the Bible say? The Bible says over in the book of Philippians chapter 2 verse 5, it says, let this what be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you which was also Christ Jesus. So see what we're doing? Praise God, when the Holy Spirit comes in, He begins to work with the Word. He gives us the thinking of the Lord Jesus Christ, but we've got to guard it. We put that on our head and taking care of that. And then there is, a little bit of sense goes a long way, don't it? And so that's why we're protecting our mind. What does it say? Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. Exactly. See that helmet? And see, you say, Brian, what's the point? Okay, I put these on every day, right? So then I'm saying, Lord, I need your mind today. I need the helmet of the Spirit on my head because I want to think like you. I'm praying. If nothing else, when you go through your armor, you know what to pray for the battle. Lord, I'm praying for my heart today. I know it's a liar. I know that thing wants to run away with my emotions, but I pray the righteousness of God be covering my heart today. You understand? You see how it's, you're actively trying to stand. Amen? You're actively trying to be there. And then there's the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word. I'm not going to spend time there. I do want you to think about Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, where it talks about the Word of God being sharper than a what? A two-edged sword, exactly. And so, you know, with a two-edged sword, you can ram, you can swing it back. But let's think about this for a second. What if we went to more of the idea of the Jewish priest? More than it being this big old lugging sword, you know what it'd be like? Be like a fillet knife. Sharp on both sides. And you know what? They could get so good that they could hit it on one side, and then when it was coming back, just double-edged. And it would cut the marrow, and it would, remember what it says? That it's able to divide the separation of the soul, the spirit, and the joints. That's what the Word of God does, man. It goes in there, and it cuts out the bad and shows us the bad. And it prunes, and it cuts back. But, hallelujah, it'll guard our mind. And it'll guard our heart because of the Word. And then the last thing, any thoughts on that? The helmet of salvation or the sword of the Spirit? And then the last thing is in verse 18. It says, praying at all times with all requests and supplications. The idea of supplication simply means to, with humility and humbleness, beg of what you need of God. What your requests are. And also notice the idea of we're to pray for others as well. We're to, you know, when you're in the army, it's not you, only you that are out there in the field, but you've got other people that are around you. And they need supplies. They need some things. So we're to pray for our brothers and sisters that are fighting as well. So I challenge you. If nothing else, in your morning prayer time, just go through these things because these are specific areas that Paul, through the leadership of the Holy Spirit, says we need guarding in our life. And remember, we don't battle against flesh and blood, but he talked about those wickedness, those demons and evil spirits that we can't see, that's in a realm that we don't see. We feel it a lot of times, the oppression of the enemy. And then also we pray for others who may be oppressed, possessed, or we don't know. But praise God, the commander is always close enough to speak to, but he's also given us all the weapons we need so that when it's time to stand, we can stand. Amen? All right, any thoughts before we close out tonight? Yes, ma'am. Place, exactly. And that's what's neat is that it is about being where God wants you, when he wants you. And that's a part of listening to the commander, being faithful to the commander. Thank you, sister. Anyone else? You don't? Oh, man. My Bibles is... I try to clarify some of it because I'll be looking at like, somebody going to read this one day, probably one of my youngins. I might need to make this a little bit clearer there. All right, anything else before we close out? Brother Kent, would you come close us out in prayer tonight? Praise the Lord. Amen. Building and root. Amen. Building and restoring relationships. Hallelujah. All right. Anything else before Brother Kent closes us out? All right, Brother Kent.
Hey. Oh, Lord, please thank you for everything you've done, Lord. Thank you for always being good to us, Lord. And now let's go out and help people out. There's a lot of people that need our help, Lord. And thank you for making the weather so nice and being so good to us, Lord. And Lord, we honor to follow you and obey you and believe you, Lord. Thanks for everything you've done. We love you, Lord, and follow you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. God bless y'all. Thank you.